Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first blooded man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio.
Wow.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library. 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. Well, hi, everybody. It's Blue Otter. I've got Mark on the line. And I understand you had a update or something for us. This Forrest, this is, folks, this is my Cherokee friend Forrest Liggett, lives in Missouri, and real active on the white path of the red road. So what you got going on, Forrest?
Well, there's a lot of things been going on. Well, you know, for many years now, of course, it's accelerating at this point in time. A gathering just this last week up in North Winnipeg at Turtle Island with Dave Kuchin. A bunch of elders up there, overlooking horses, a bunch of other ones. And then there's the Medicine Wheel gathering going on June 21st.
Good. Now, the Medicine Wheel, I know Benny was getting ready to do one March 20th, and it was, his father's taken real ill. Has he rescheduled that?
No, I just now saw that.
It's a safety issue, a health issue,
and a safety issue.
Yeah.
Because that had been planned for
Mark, May 20th.
Well, most of them were in the June 19th to 22nd area.
Yeah.
They don't want to.
Yeah, they're going to be up in St. Marie and Arizona and everywhere else. So, I know the one in Arizona is still going on because the shadows of Columbia.
Mm.
People coming up.
Oh, cool.
I don't know now because it just happened a couple minutes ago.
His was May 20th, and he canceled it because of his father's very ill.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about the one now. She sent Marie because I was just on the Facebook Skyweaver, Grandma the Skyweaver, 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I see it. There's a link on there. On his, it's the Eagle and Condor Nations United North Central and South America 4,000-mile Medicine Wheel, June 19, 2021. You can go to earthwisdomfoundation.net, look on the right-hand side. Yeah, they're going to center it somewhere near Panama, apparently. And, Sault Ste. Marie, somewhere in the Caribbean. There's a map of it. earthwisdomfoundation.net/4000_MILE_MEDICNE_WHEEL.html, or just go to earthwisdomfoundation.net. Yeah, it looks like it'll be interesting. The first phase will be completed in July in Costa Rica. The ceremony will heal the thoughts and emotions of the Atlantean and Lemurian energies. Fascinating, yeah. So,
that's going on, and then we're going to host one here in Missouri September, 20th to 24th. The autumn equinox. The last balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Is there anything anything on the net about that?
Well, no. We my council had a meeting last night.
Okay. Do you guys got a website?
No, we don't. So I'm gonna have to start getting stuff together, put it, you know, maybe on your website.
Yeah, we'll host it. Just get yourself
Adam DeArmond's and put it out there, but.
If you want to get a domain name, we can host it on my website, and I'll fix you up with FTP and host it for free. You've got unlimited bandwidth.
Excellent.
Yeah, just say the word. And Mark, you with us?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bet you've been trying to figure out Forrest's Mayan birth date, May 29, 1952.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know about? What can you tell for us about himself that he don't know?
1952.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that that day in the Mayan traditional day count would be a day called Nine Quak. It's the 130 day 139 of the 260 cycle.
Could you
see that? The numbers, the nine of the nine quark, give us an idea about things of having to do with authority, especially more of a feminine or female type energy in the authority. You know, so emotional things may be guiding the authority. Intuition probably has some, maybe some artistic capabilities. The Quak glyph itself is has a lot to do with friends and families, even things like disciples and stuff like that. So kind of close-knit groups of people. The Quak glyph is also on one of the codexes. I forget which one it was now. I think it's the Paris Codex. I'm not sure. But it's on there, and it also ties in with what we just he was speaking about, Turtle Island, because it's, sometimes it's also called the Turtle Glyph in some cases. And so it's in the Chuen cycle. So it is a day that's mentioned in the Mayan book Chilam Balam, where it talks about where the Yunal or the 20-day count was started. And it started on that particular cycle that he was born in. He was born on the ninth day of that cycle. So that book, well, has some, I don't have it here right now, but it'll have some comment about that particular day as well. So that kind of is a connection back, actually, between his birth and actually when the 20-day count started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of... Now, looking at the other side, we'll switch and we'll look at multiple. This viewpoint getting ready to give is from the perspective of the next world cycle, looking backwards.
Hey, Forrest, by the way, were you born before or after sundown?
I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I didn't ask if you remember. I didn't know whether you knew or not. So.
I'd have to check on that.
Yeah, you find out because you were born. Well, I just want to interject. You know, he was talking about a community. You were born right before the Hebrew festival of Shavuot, which is the Jewish holiday that occurs. So you were born on the 5th of Sivan, commemorates the anniversary of the day God gave the Torah to the whole Israelite nation. And they get together and have this big festival during this period of time. And but go ahead. I don't want to get you sidetracked.
No, that's okay. Sounds like it fits right in.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out his right. Yeah, it does.
So the things I'm going to be saying next are going to be kind of from the perspective of the next world cycle, looking back, although it's going to cover a forward flow of time moving from our cycle to the next, a backward flow of time moving from it backwards to us. So it's moving from what we call the future back to us in the past, what would be the past, and then where the two come together. So the first one, the flow of time going forward, that's from your birth, and it has a lot about things of peace, hope, equality, soul, joy, intention, things like that seem to have been maybe some important factors in your life.
Thank you.
And the on the other flow, And this is things I typically tell people, it's kind of from past experience, it's things that tend to have, it's on the backward flow, so it's moving from the future coming back towards us, which we're moving closer to now. we would expect, because we're getting closer to it, it's getting stronger. And it's been maybe getting stronger from around the year 1998 forward. And this energy is, it's speaking of things like love, loyalty, heart, good virtues, things having to do with light, especially radial spiral type of light. Some Jaguar energy here, receptivity, mystical things, and it is in the it's in the cycle of Kuok, so it's connecting back to the one we were talking about earlier with the Kuok energy. And now it's bringing in some additional aspect of the family, because the cycle is called the Kuok cycle of the ancestral path. So some of this family is the ancestors. So,
well, this is, if I could interject here for a minute, that is absolutely spot on, because 1998 was the first ghost camp I went to with Robert Ghost Horse, which was just a totally awesome.
You mean Ghost Wolf?
Yeah, Ghost Wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Life-changing, eye-opening, spirit-opening experience. These things cannot be with natural gas. That had a big point change in my path that I'm on now. And of course, the ghost dance, spirit dance, welcome to spirit dance, whatever you want to call it, is directly tied into the ancestors. So, you have Mars. Nuclear is a much cheaper option. Reading so far is spot on.
Were the Hopi elders there?
Yes, there were Hopi elders there.
That's what I heard. And after that, they called him chief.
Or the Looking Horse was there. That was, but most important, the Great Spirit was there. The first night of the dance, a few hours of dance, SMR's cars came in from all four platforms at once and danced right over the fast grounds.
So you see,
horrors we have to break and scatter. Quick, passed over, came out, and here comes the full moon with a double rainbow at 2 o'clock in the morning. The most brightest, awesome double rainbow you've ever seen in your life.
Wow.
I was a believer. So, yes. You know, Mark, diagnosis there is spot on. 1998 is a major changing path for me, especially related to
the ancestors. Over quarterback and Tennessee Sports Radio host Eric Gage will be emceeing the June
7th. So we take these. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said wow.
Oh, okay. So we take these two now, and we'll move them to where we have a third part, and that's where these two time flows come together into a form of a zero point or a doorway that moves between the world cycles. And for you, that is a day for Chakan, which is a serpent energy, or the Chakan would relate to the Quetzal in Quetzalcoatl. That's a different part of his name. It's talking about things where we use all these other things you've been working on, and it's talking about survival, instinct, life force, using sacred power, dimensionality, dimensional form, prophecy, dreaming, intuition, and things like that. So it's basically saying, now use all these good things and figure out how to make it through.
Well, and this is what we're trying to do. We've got this little gathering here for 4 months now. And that came up last night.
Could be a little slick along the side, though.
What you gotta do? Outstanding. So, anything else interesting going on? Any more feedback about the North Carolina meeting? We heard from Terry.
Yeah, I heard from Terry, and you know, things have calmed down there.
There could be some rooftops and
the drama is included, and things are going on smoothly. And he'll
there's 56 by Friday, 60 by Saturday.
What's the date today?
Eighth of May.
Yeah, he probably had another
weekend.
Ceremony.
All right, thank you.
We'll have another one about once a month. The fourth week of the month is when they're doing that, and there'll be a bigger one here at the end of May. The New Corn, I believe it is.
Uh huh.
Welcome to New Quarterback. You hear more on Book Story. Lord, how many more reactions? The Lady Ball may be on a collision course
with
the defending
under here. But we should have twin granddaughters by then down in South Carolina, so it'd be a really good excuse to go down there about that time.
Oh, is that right?
So.
Well, be sure and stop on your way.
Yeah, we'll stop and have lunch again.
Absolutely.
Or early dinner.
Absolutely. Looks like we've got five listeners, and folks, if you've never called in before, I want to encourage you to call in and get free Mayan birthday reading. And if you're trying to get in and are not getting through,
with our peace of mind.
Let's see. If you're trying to get through and can't, would you get on Facebook and go to the Proxy Keepers Listeners Group and give us a call or give me a shout and I'll get your phone number and we'll see if we can get you on. But other than that. The number is 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in. But if we don't have a call here in the next couple of minutes, I'm just going to go ahead and start up the interview with Maria Oresborough, which should be really interesting. We would have had another live interview with her, but she's been absolutely booked solid. She's doing a lot of traveling, and her link to her website and what she's up to is right there on the page. Just click on her name. But anyway, yeah. If you don't, unless you want to get your wife on, we could do her. Is she around?
Well. Yeah, but what I wanted to ask you originally,
it sounded like a car door, somebody's driving a car, it would be wonderful to
get you out here in Missouri in September.
Yeah, it'd be something to look forward to.
I think like Calvin said, you can handle your travel costs. And we talked one time, you said you like, you know, if we in a recliner than a van.
Yeah, no problem.
Two of those in my list.
Oh, cool.
It's 12 miles from the ground. 15 miles from the ground.
Now 20 yards away,
so,
the camera continues to roll.
Just put that pencil at the end of the calendar.
What's the date?
About the 24th of September.
Oh, yeah. That's the equinox. Something like
that. Oh, yeah. Matt, or the Feast of Trumpets on the solar calendar. Before they got messed up with their lunatic calendar that they got from the Babylonians.
Yeah, see, you're born that festival of Shavuot. It's the festival of weeks, and it's a big deal. You were born on the the 49th day. See, they count the Omer, and you were born on the 49th day.
The camera crew was
that mitzvah or deed derives from the Torah commandment to count 49 days, beginning on the day on which the Omer is sacrificed. It's a measure of barley. And they count.
It's harvested across the hill from the town and all that kind of stuff. But that was from later. And they didn't have to go across the hill to find out what day it was.
Mm-hmm.
See if the barley was a bee. And if the moon was a bee barley, it was going to be a solar calendar every day.
Yeah,
exactly where the equinox is. That's when spring phase starts.
Yeah, that's why they watch. They watch for the that little sliver of moon.
Yeah, I mean
the Omer begins the second day of Passover for rabbinic Jews, and after the weekly Shabbat during Passover for the Karaites, and the day before the holiday, or on the 50th day. So you're born just before that. And
think of that lunar calendar. The Babylonians, when they were in exile for 70 years, before that they had the solar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what the barley was doing in Jerusalem, so they weren't even in Jerusalem.
You're going to be a people?
And
yeah.
They knew exactly what day it was. Every ancient civilization knew the equinoxes and the solstices.
Yeah, I'll send you a link so you can take a look at that. And oh my gosh, we've got callers. I apologize.
Okay.
Callers, I apologize to you. Well, I want to apologize to you. You just joined us, or just one caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, I know who this is. Yeah, I won't blow your cover.
How's it going, Will?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks to you and your guest for putting you on the show.
Oh, this is my friend Tom Chittum. Tom is the author of Civil War II, which you ought to take a look at. And he's a Vietnam veteran, and he volunteered to fight the bad guys over in Bosnia. And they got a poke in the eye with a sharp stick for his Hey, this would be interesting. What's your birth date? Your full birth date, Tom?
February 28, 1947.
Okay.
228. Older than me. I like it.
228-47. Okay. We'll take a look at that. See what's going on. Did you catch that, Mark?
February 28, 1947.
Yeah.
Well, in the Mayan, traditional Mayan day count, that day was 3 eek. And Water has a lot of people with some eek energy showing up on.
Yeah, that's wind. That's wind and communication and having to get the word out. He's an author. And you've written several books, haven't you?
Are you
that
speaking
right?
to me, Will?
Yeah. This is about your Mayan birth date's about communication and urgency.
Oh, communication.
And you've written several books now, haven't you?
No, just one. I'm working on another one, which I'm going to call Mackinder's War. About the British military theorist Halford Mackinder, who blew up the actual battle plan for the conquest of the world.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is fascinating. We actually just need to do a full interview for you on this and announce it so we get people to come in and listen, because you're a military historian. You've got some very important lost for words. I've been working so hard in the garden, my mind is really tired. Your perspective. You got a very high
perspective. That's a good word.
And, you got literally an eagle's eye view, but, go ahead and tell him some more, Mark.
Well, the, that day 3 week is the 42nd day of the 260-day cycle. Blue Otters was on 9 week, which is the 22nd day. So there's actually a exact 20-day cycle between your birth and me.
It's
a glyph. So that's a chosen interesting connection to make to explain why you guys working with each other. On the other one, we're gonna go. This one's gonna go through more of the energy flows going forwards and backwards from the perspective of the next world cycle, and then a unity of the forward and backward time flow into the unity of those two. So on the forward one, it has things talking about prophecy, kind of connecting everything together. Oneness, Omotakiyas and Nimakesh, like the Mayans would say. Along with things like synchronicity, movement, and thought. So exploring things. So things like that may have been shown. Change, and things are associated with change on that too, transformation, transmutation, changing again. But today, that actually is connected into the what is called the Aztec Sunstone. If you look at the top of that thing, it has two serpent tails connecting into a reed symbol, a cockadal symbol. And your energy here is connected into that particular part of that prophecy stone. And so that particular area of the stone is relating to two serpents moving in opposite directions. And those serpents symbolize the torsion fields and energy fields that actually govern creation and how things appear. And in a hologram, it would be the two, how the laser splits and the two beams of light, and they interact with each other to generate interference patterns, and then you look at it with the right light, and it looks like it's three-dimensional. It relates to that. So, and that particular symbol also would connect back into the stars of the Pleiades. So you may have some Pleiadian connection somewhere. On the other flow, moving backwards, so moving from what we call the future backward in time, and this is energy that may have, in the recent years, been getting stronger. It's more things about transformation of things, changes, things about challenges of polarity of things, you know, the opposites coming together in the balance. And it also has some eek energy in it. Both of those are white colors, so they have to do with the direction of the north. And obviously it would connect into things like white buffalo and stuff like that. And that's going to have things about breath, spirit, prayer, communication. That's connects into the throat chakra to some extent. And it also has some of the serpent energy that we were talking about before, because it's in that cycle. And it would also potentially may pick into things like the crystal skulls, things like that. And where these two time flows come together, you have something that connects to our other guest. You have a squawk energy, which is a storm or turtle or that type of energy, and it's about family and community and cooperation, teaching, teaching especially about goodness, the right way of doing things. Some eagle energy here that has to do with vision, mind, power of mind, and then revealing things, uncovering and revealing things, and putting them out there. That would also connect into the whole thing with the eagle energy, with the prophecy of eagle or condor, with the eagle being the north and the condor being the south. So you'd probably be doing your part in the north. And a little bit of things here, the cycle that's governing that particular day has things to do with heart and loyalty and friendship, too. So a lot of things about that, you know, family, friends, cooperating, and then teaching stuff, doing things to teach and communicate.
Cool. Are you still with us, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Yeah.
I thank your guest for his comments.
You betcha. Yeah. Let's get you on for a full interview. I want to pass along a message to you from Raylan Allen. She said hi. And love to have you back someday, and I'll talk to you more about that later. Okay?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, good deal. We've got Elizabeth from where in California are you?
Concord.
Okay. And what's your full birthday? If you want to, you're a lady. If you want to give it up.
27, but it's okay. I was much younger than my year, so I have no problem. It's June 27th, 1970.
62770, okay.
Yes.
62770. Let's see what we can come up with here. Very difficult to make. You still with us, Mark? Yeah, I can hear Mark.
June 27th, 1970?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so on the traditional Mayan day count, Blue Otter's not going to blaze this one. I got another eek.
Wow.
8 eek. This is the 242nd day of the 260 day calendar. It's in the Eagle cycle, which connects to the Eagle to what we just did on his reading. So all the things about spirit, breath, communication, that the Eagle energy applies. Then maybe some things also with art and subtle type of thinking, subtleties. So you might, and there's something called subtle energy. It's a nickname, kind of a new quantum physics name for chi and prana and that type of stuff. So you may have some talents on that, especially when you use them in combination with mental aspects of vision seeking and things like that.
Wow.
And also some things about
when's her next Mayan birthday?
When's her next? I know what's on that, especially when you use them in combination with mental aspects.
You want to close your somebody's got an open browser, so we're getting somebody has a browser. Okay.
Yeah, it's not me.
Be tough. Okay.
You're asking when was her next one?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. It's going to take a little bit to figure it out. It's going to be... Boy. It's going to be...
See, what you need to do is best time to go out for Vision Quest is during your Mayan birthday, and as you get closer, give us a call and we'll give you instructions on how to do it, and about 10 days before, give us a call or a message, and we'll turn you out of this.
It's going to be on March 13th, 2013.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She just passed one.
So I just had one?
Yeah.
No, March 13th, 2013. We'll leave the next one.
So when was this last one? Like 200 and something days before that? Or like the cycle of the calendar, I guess? Or...
Well, let's see. Now playing on a television near you. Oh, hold on. Maybe. We'll have another one coming up here. I missed one. There's going to be another one coming up here. Let's see. June 26th.
Oh, wow.
So just a few weeks from now. right after the transit of the sun. So June 26, 2012. That'll be 1 hour 2. That'll be the next
one. Good deal, yeah.
Partnerships.
So she was 8E. Oh wow. Yeah, that's all about it. We attract. It's amazing. We get a lot of people with this eek energy. That's pretty significant. It's spelled I K. And just do Mayan or just do a Google search for the number 8 followed by I K and the word Mayan, and you can read up on it. But
thank you.
Hey, sure. Yeah, call back anytime.
Definitely. Okay. Well, blessings to you both for the great work you're doing. Thank you.
You bet. Oh, it's lots of fun.
All right.
Yeah, folks.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Hey, thanks a lot. Go ahead and hang up if you would. We're at 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in.
Give me an example.
Let's see here. I'm looking to see. Got a bunch of people on here tonight, and
what's a pickle?
Okay, anyway, yeah, that's interesting, Mark. Yeah, I'm trying to sort out the switchboard here because we've got a lot going on. We had one person called in, and apparently he left the line, and I couldn't hear him say anything, so. If I sound tired, it's because I am. This is planting season, and I built 12 4x4 square foot gardens last year, and wasn't able to plant till just now because you don't plant in Tennessee till about the 1st of May, and because I don't have my greenhouse built, so I'm absolutely whipped. Anyway. Well, it doesn't look like we've got any more callers. Now, let's see. Who else on the line with us?
She can do it by going in through a vein.
Is anybody on the line with us beside Mark?
I don't think so.
And, okay. Yeah, because it shows we've got a three. Are you area code 301, Mark?
No.
Oh, okay. Who's on with us from area code 301? Are you there?
Kittiman, Frederick, Maryland.
Oh, you're still there? Okay, good deal. I didn't know whether you're still there or not. So. Yeah, I had a whole bunch of... what else you been up to, Tom?
Well, I did have one question for your guest.
Sure.
If you'd be so kind, and that is, according to my... is anything really going to happen in this year or not?
Well, a lot of the things are not... or things a lot of other people, ideas other people have come up with. It's, there is even some debate on if the long count, Act's 13-buck-ton long count, ends or not on December 21st. As best we can tell, likely it is. And so, even Don Alejandro, the leader of the 440 Mayan clans, he basically goes with that date and uses that current day count. So, yeah, they'll December 21st, 2012, the 13 buck tons will end. They'll start on December 22nd. They'll be in year zero. They'll zero out the count. And it starts a new cycle of 13 buck tons. They also say there's various things that can happen. You can see increases in earth, you know, quakes and different things can happen. But they don't necessarily say it happens on that particular day. It's a window of time that can go 5, 7, 10, 15, 20 years. It could be a whole Catan cycle. So some of the stuff we already have seen can be related to it. The fact that, for the last how many years the world economic system has been teetering, to them, from their viewpoint, that would fit in right with it.
Yeah. And Shahawin Lightfoot just joined us, too, guys, from out in near Alamogordo. How you doing tonight, Shahwin?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I had a question for Mark, believe
sure.
it or not.
Sure.
I know you did a reading on me a couple of weeks ago, but I was wondering when my next birthday was on the Mayan calendar. We had talked about so many things, you know.
Well, what was your birthday? Or do you remember your glyphs that it gave you?
Actually, no.
What was your birthday? And I'll look it up, and then I'll have to find the next one.
May the 13th.
May the
1961? Yes. While he's looking that up, what's going on in your life? Anything?
Nothing much. We had some thunderstorms here. Finally, we got some rain, and it was wonderful. And other than that, everything's going about the same.
Well, that's good.
It's like a quiet period.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the year again?
It's going to be August 13th, 2012.
Okay.
So this year on the 12th of August.
August 13th.
And what's her glyph?
I believe it's a 4-hawk.
Sorry, put the nurses on the schedule. She's asking for you. Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Would you go see her?
That's right. She's lost with that dude. Yeah, I don't think we've had anybody call in with her. I guess since she called in, we haven't had anybody call in that had that glyph. Very interesting.
Well, it does connect in to the eek glyph, because the 4-hawk is in the man-eek cycle. And the man-eek cycle in the hand would have, and some of the things would have a T-cross sitting in it. So,
well, would you please email that to me so I can take a look at it?
I'm going to, I'll get that over to you right now. Let's see. I'll send it over via, I'll message it to you via Facebook.
Okay, that would be
now. And one other thing about around that period of August 13th, the current correlation on the long count has the long count beginning around that time period, specifically August 11th and 3114 BC. So when you're doing that on August 13th, if you're making a connection like that, you're going to be relatively close to the whole start of the long count cycle. Which would have been one fifth of a precessional cycle in the past.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Did you now you teach circle medicine?
Yes, I teach circle medicine.
And now, before you worked on yourself, did you have problems with unhealed childhood wounds?
Yes, very badly.
Relationship dramas, through hissy fits.
Chaotic. Let's just say chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, woe is me. Anger, frustration.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Maybe overindulged a little bit. But you overcome a lot now, and you're really good at cooperating and being loyal and getting assistance from others and teamwork.
Yeah,
and making personal sacrifices for the community, group, or family. Yeah, I sent you that link. Yeah, it's amazing what a good oracle this is. It helps people just make sense out of the chaos in their lives. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
Absolutely.
Everybody goes through many things, but when you start working on yourself, and you really have to reflect on the stuff that you've been through, then you can really start seeing the cycles and the patterns and within your own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a tool that you can help. It's like destiny therapy. It's a tool that you can use to help, so people can kind of see themselves in a mirror and understand what their challenges were, what they came here to overcome, and then once they've overcome that, you know, what they're here to do.
Right.
Oh, I want to.
Well, there's one other thing that she might want to think about too.
Uh-huh.
And that is, with this particular glyph, it's helpful to look at things that may have wolf energy. Also, in the Mayan, in those people's tradition, there was a dog, Xoatl, that was related to underworld and moving through the underworld. Kind of like the Egyptians had the Anubis.
Wow, that's interesting, Mark.
So that might be something to look for, too, especially on August 13th.
All
right. Yeah, she's got that dog energy, and definitely. How are you with dogs?
I love dogs.
Yeah, yeah. I figured. most engine girls do.
Right. Yeah, they seem to find me though, and there's not a dog that doesn't like me.
Yeah, I've been told that even bad dogs. Well, you know, I used to do natural gas leak survey work, so I was in and out of people's yards, and I would think nothing about walking in a yard that had, you know, one place there was. I remember there was two German Shepherds and some other. What's kind of got the pink spots in their mouth? Oh no, purple spots in their mouth. Anyway, I can't remember. Big, you know, possibly vicious dog. Anyway, I just just walk right in, you know, and of course I just act like I own the place, and they just. You know, I'm an intruder. I walk right in their yard, and they just watch me walk in and walk out. But I've had people tell me that dogs never took a shine to anybody, but they seem to like me too.
Well, see, I had to grow up like that because my mama, you know, Nawasa trained dogs for a living.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she trained for the military. She trained for the police academy.
Is that right?
She was well known. You probably heard of her. Her English name was Barbara Jordan, and that was my mom. So I grew up around watching her train dogs and stuff. And so, like I said, most any dog likes me. But I learned a lot from my mom on how to, you know, how dogs talk.
I met. 1971 or two, I was in, I think 72, I met Francis X. Hayes, who was just getting ready to retire the Baltimore Police Department. And he was the guy that introduced K-9 and SWAT into the police departments. And he was quite an interesting guy. At that time, I was thinking about possibly going into law enforcement or military, and it was quite interesting. Every single one of those guys, this is 72, every single one of those guys had a George Wallace pin on their uniform. but anyway.
Well, I found she also has some eek energy, too, because her day... If you counterbalance it across the entire 260 days Zulcan, the other counterbalancing for her is going to be sitting as the 10th day of the Eek cycle. She also has the Eek connection too. Not directly, but sort of indirectly as a counterbalance.
Yeah, she's got that dog energy. Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you, Kath.
Thank you very much.
Call in any time. Yeah, I just got about 5 minutes before I need to kick off Maria's interview. And if you want to call in, we're at 347-996-3318. And, Mark, I really want to thank you for taking the time today. And,
you're welcome.
Yeah, like I said, if I seem a little spaced out tonight, it's because I am. And I'm a real big guy, and I'm leaning over a lot. From the waist, feel like transplanting and doing stuff like that. It really takes it out of me. I just soar all over. But you know, anybody that is real inactive during the winter and goes out and does gardening. See, we try to. I haven't talked about this much, but we try to guide this show around the Hopi 10. And you can look that up, Hopi 10. And you can read about the Hopi 10 messages that were given to Chokosh, Aho'o, or you can go to prophecykeepers.com and read about it. But things about where is your water, how are your relationships, know your garden, just the real basics, the things that they recommended that people take a good look at. And but yeah, Shahawin has left us, and we appreciate you, Mark.
I guess they have speeds on that list.
No, it's let me look it up real quick. It's here. I'm sputtering.
They should have speeds on the list.
Yeah, basically they said, "Oops."
I guess that's part of the garden.
I don't know if you can hear that, folks. It's I had to go over to my website to look it up. Basically, what happened is she was called. Oh, this is quite a long time ago when her kids were small. She was called to the. She had spent some time on the Hopi Reservation during the 60s, and they called her and they said, "We've got a message," and. I'll replay that here real soon. But she went to, she was supposed to go to Oribe, didn't know it, so she sat for a couple of days over at Houghton Villa, and finally somebody came and clued her in and said, you know, you need to go over there. And so she was just, the sun was just getting up, and she got out to relieve herself, and here come the Hopi elders shuffling around the corner, and they said, you know, you've been telling people the 11th hour is approaching. Tell them it's here,
or you can.
And there are things to be considered. And they gave her a 10-point checklist. You know, where do you live? You know, not just geographically. That could be, you know, where do you live in your head? You live in your heart. You know, what is it that you do? How are your relationships? And are you in right relation with the earth? Where's your water? Do you know your garden and nature around you? And it takes, you know, a couple 3 years to get to know a garden. I'm behind the. The curve on that, and but you know, be good to each other. Don't look outside yourself for the leader. And they said this could be a good time, and they clapped just like that. And they wanted people to really pay attention to this message, and they wanted to get it out. And we interviewed Chokosh a couple times back, 2004, 2005, but. But anyway, well, I need to kick off, if you don't have anything else, it doesn't look like we've got any other callers, I need to kick off Maria's interview, and thank you so much, Mark, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay.
Hey, bye-bye.
I still love you. I know.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio.
But you need to know.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the turret kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the holy ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, We bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Rose Kings Council.
Just 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? Just 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? Just 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginali Tohiju Tohigu, which means, hello, cousin. I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Blue Water coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniutikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Water coming to you from Booger County and the mysterious Ozarks of Mid-America. And our guest this weekend is Marita Yaceberu. I think, you know, I was so afraid of mispronouncing your last name. I mispronounced your first name, Maria. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I guess you're calling us from the West Coast, right? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego right this second.
Ah, beautiful place to be.
It's pretty warm today.
I grew up.
I'm from Arizona, but, you know, here on the coast, it's more humid and stuff.
So yeah, yeah. Well, I basically grew up from second, third, fourth, fifth grade in Santa Monica.
Okay.
Fifth grade in Newport Beach. Then I came back for sophomore year of college, so in and out of California quite a bit. But, well, tell folks about who you are and what you do, and I understand you've got a message from Creator for people.
Stole you from me. Well, you know,
and he treated you unkindly for all those years.
For years now, I've been trying to figure out what I do. I do community. I guess that's the best thing that I can say that I do. Because, I grew up in a traditional family, a Catholic family, and my grandpa was a holy man. I learned a lot of ceremonies, and I learned how to gauge cyclic times, and I learned prophecies, and I learned stories, and so now what I do is I just help people try to get sacred again in their life. And so we do a lot of family things and workshops on bringing tradition and ritual back into your life and how everybody can pretty much do that on their own. I guess I kind of changed the way my grandpa taught me. Like, I've written two books now, and the first one was Legends and Prophecies of Kiro Kathy. And I'll get into that word tarot here in just a minute. But that was, you know, the stories I heard growing up as a kid, and then listening to the elders talk about the prophecies of these changing times.
Uh-huh.
And then my second book was Prayers and Meditations of the Jerogalki, which is kind of like just our way of going into the silence and communing with nature and the creator, and recognizing that the different earth energies and how they affect that. How Mama Earth really, you know, balances the whole thing out. Tarot, I want to get back to that right quick, because there's been a lot of talk about that recently. Tarot is not a band of Apache. Tarot is the name that the Apache Kiowa and Navajo called themselves before 1600 when they were one tribe. And after they split out, the tarot got dropped. And there were a handful of Apaches left in Mexico after Geronimo surrendered. And they opted to take that name. And sometimes they called it Tierra Madre Apache, sometimes they called it Tierra Apache. Since the book started coming out, I've been hearing from Tierra Apache all over the place, in Florida, in Laytonville, California. I guess there were some that, instead of going with Geronimo or staying there in Mexico, came out to California to settle, and they settled up in the, like, Napa County area.
Now, is that work, Tierra?
We had a few of us out there, actually. So,
how do you spell it? How do you spell it?
Q-U-E-R-O.
Okay.
Okay. And, about 10, 15 years ago, we started working with the Incan Tierra, and we've been comparing our ways, doing a lot of ritual together, and we've been finding out how similar the Tierra actually are in their ways, and they look upon this as the fulfillment of the Eagle Congo prophecies that we've brought Turtle Island and Heart Island back together in this process, and we've formed some pretty tight alliances with them, and it's really wonderful work.
Great, great. So you've done, well, just tell us about your travels for the last, you know, how long have you been active, how long have you had the feather, you know, been
doing? I've been teaching since 72.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm old. I turned 50 this year, you know, last year, and my tradition, the elders look at me and they say, okay, now you're an adult, you're 50. You know what
I'm going to do. I was going to say, yeah, that's, I'm probably 51. And this.
Yeah.
51 is Cherokee.
I think it's a great time of life. I really am enjoying it.
Yeah, Cherokee way, it's like 51, 52.
Yeah. And I've been doing this since 72. I got involved. My grandpa always told me I'd be doing stuff like this. And then when I went to college, I got involved with some psychology people. And that, you know, back in the 70s, that's when everybody was sure that
people
were So my counselor was a psychologist, and she had just started a group for women. And so she was having some problems because she couldn't, clinical psychology just wasn't taking it far enough. And so we were talking about it one day because I was her assistant too, you know, to do the filing and that kind of stuff. And so I started talking to her about rites of passage and the way I was brought up. And we decided, well, we need some of those. And we put these women through it that were in this group. And so they had basically their childhood to their death rites all within a combined program in addition to their psychological support group. And it worked really, really well. And so I guess that's kind of where I started, that and going out to high schools and just talking about, you know, I was part of the American Indian Movement back then, some of the stuff that was going on there. So trying to just have people wake up and see both sides of the coin, you know. We got the sociology stuff that we need to take care of. We need to heal this among our people. But we also have this earth human that it's essential for us to look at our lives as individuals, and it, you can't see color because of that, because if mama's going to survive, we got to get better.
You know, this is interesting.
That's the bottom line.
There's a lot of natives. Well, people, I noticed it's there's a lot of people that are native or native mixed blood people that want to teach that are attracted to psychology, sociology.
Are you leaving?
I don't know. have, you had a chance to listen to Earth Thunder.
They got some very important from my father's.
Earth people were Wolf Clan Two people. They went out to the Rocky Mountains before removal. And they were out there, they became known as the Red Dogs.
That's
and,
right.
And they would be up in the, well, that movie about the Oxbow incident.
Right.
That was made, it wasn't Shoshone people, it was her people.
Tell me who your friends
were. And in 1951, a bunch of loggers discovered her people there had been living hunter-gatherer up there since the 1830s.
Right.
And living in the mountains in the summer and down in the caves, down in the valleys in the winter.
Right.
And 70 people in her clan, you know, all but five children were killed. She was the oldest. She was 10.
Are you afraid you're going to screw up again?
So she was literally classified as a feral child.
You can't live life in your head.
And was raised in an orphanage, never used a phone until she was like 18. But
yeah.
She eventually became a clinical psychologist.
Yeah.
And then Benny LeVeau also kind of went that route. And
Benny well.
I know, I was in the vocational rehabilitation graduate program Utah State in Logan, and they have I think they've got one of the two special Native American psychology programs there.
Right.
So lots of good things, you know, you get the best of both worlds because you know, most Native people have a foot in both worlds.
Right. Well, that's trying to balance both. And I think the gravitation to the psychology of the way is kind of natural for us because, you know, in our traditional lifestyle, you know, there's many types of medicine people, I guess, you know, and people have specialties. But what I got told was that you go through and you learn it all, and the first step is to count for it, you know, and train as a medicine person. This is somebody that counsels about dreams, you know, counsels about life relationships and stuff like that, because it's what we're closest to. And then you go on and you learn, you know, the healer ways, you know.
Well, did you know the guy that played Billy Jack, Tom Laughlin?
Uh-huh.
He became, even though he didn't have a degree or a doctorate in it, he became one of the best-known Jungian psychologists in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Allowed to practice.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, and, you know, I'm just really pleased with the work that I see coming out of Luis Malmadrona, too. You know, his coyote healing.
We'll be doing him soon. We had him scheduled and had to do a change, but we'll have him back on soon.
Yeah, he was supposed to come out and do a workshop for some of our groups, and he had a family thing that happened. So it's good, but I know he also just relocated to Canada.
Well, did you ever run into Grandfather Rolling Thunder if you were back?
Oh, yes. Back when my children were little.
Well, you probably met Earth Thunder because she hung around him, I guess she found him back in those days too, and
yeah.
I didn't meet him until 90 when he was almost dead.
Well, the first time I met him, I think it was actually like in 68, and then he did the funeral services for my grandpa.
Well, you hired me to blow up that
bridge. I had a case.
Gave me money and my explosives. I know where
he was. Quite a coyote.
I know where you live.
Yeah.
Until
He was something else. He was something else.
And
you know, his son's got a spiritual center in
up in Oregon.
Oregon, yeah, we've interviewed him.
Yeah. I haven't been up there yet.
All Spotted Eagle.
But I hear it's quite fantastic.
All Spotted Eagle. And
So
I'm sure you know it's really interesting how people show their I won't pull any punches, people show their ignorance. There's a lot of discussion about you, you know, on the net, and you know, because I just put your name in on the search engine. If I, there's no such thing as a criminal panicking. You know, this kind of person. This just, I hate to use the word wannabes, but these people are wannabes themselves. You know, they don't have a clue. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, I have two cards, but you know, I got cut a long time ago because. I met with bigotry on both sides. I'm fair skinned, so when I was at home, if I was among people that weren't, you know, just my family bloodline, my clan, then I would run into some of that.
Yep.
But less there than I actually did with the non-natives when I came off the reservation, because they had a hard time accepting me as not white.
Yeah, there's a war.
I can't live that way. It was such a different lifestyle. I couldn't live that way.
Yeah.
So I always had to be true to me.
Ghost Wolf says there's a war against mixed bloods from both directions.
Yeah, there actually is. I signed up for one of them blog things the other day. I'm not very good at computer stuff, but I signed up for one. One of the kids in our group said, "Hey, you really should try this." So I signed up, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing from natives all over that live on the fringes of the communities. And when they were smaller, they were all, "Oh, yeah, you know, are you part of this?" And then, but when they started walking that path where they don't see color, you know, they're looking at spirit, then here they are. They're ostracized, and they're out there. And so it looks like we're forming a club.
Well, the best thing you could probably do is, like, buy the domain, you know, buy the domain of your name, Erase Brew, and then buy the domain QueroApache.org and put up
yeah.
a group, and that way people can, because they're all, everybody's scattered all over. You probably even got Queros in Australia.
Oh, probably, you know? Probably. We hear from people all over, so it's hard to say. We have a mailing list now of like 450,000. So some days it's hard to keep track. No, it went in 1999, before any of my books came out, we went in like 2 months from like 2,000 to nearly 100,000.
Emails or hard copy address?
The email with people that get our monthly mailings and stuff. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we're always hearing people keep running into people we know and stuff like that. And it really demonstrates how small the Earth is getting as far as communication. Hey, and you know, that's something I'd like to comment on, because I keep hearing people say, time's sped up and you know, our lives are just moving so fast and all that stuff. I want to tell everybody that we make time. Time's an illusion, okay? It's created by our reality of what gravity is. And what speeds time up is the instantaneous efficiency of communication. So if you look at back when we had to write letters and it would take 6 months for something to get to someone, time was much slower then. Now it's like you think it and it's there via the computer, and pretty soon via our minds doing it, because that's a talent that's coming back in. Then time really is going to appear to move fast. And yet if you look at the planet and its structure and scientifically proven, at the equator, time moves faster than it does at the north or south pole, because there's of the mass densities that have to be traveled.
Right.
So really, time there, you know, it's all distortion and it's all an illusion that we create and agree upon. You know, so I think, you know, if you get up in the morning and you say thank you to Creator, and then kind of plot your course, you're going to make the time. The time's not going to govern you.
Let me ask you one more question, and I'm going to interrupt all this. Let's teach. Did you ever spend much time on the Rev and Dulce?
Making energy worthless.
Oh, at Deshay?
Hickory Reservation.
Oh, okay, Hickory. No, I didn't spend much time at Hickory. I spent most of my time at White Mountain.
Yeah.
At Holly Lake, below White Mountain. That's where I grew up.
Well, the reason why I ask you is I went to school with the woman that ended up being their chief, Claudia Vigil Muniz.
Oh, very good.
I was up with people with her.
Uh-huh.
And she was elected. I'm not sure. I think she's out of office now, but I was just curious if you knew her.
Yeah, I keep track of politics at White Mountain. That's about as good as I can do.
Yeah. Well, I'll just let you teach that. I won't interrupt you anymore.
So. Okay.
What other people need to know?
Is Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much that we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, people really need to know right now that they need to start paying attention to what's going on with Earth and his cycle. You know, we're talking here about Earth, Wind, and Fire, and water here. The elements are really starting to speak up about the changes that are going on. You know, our polar axis is shifting, and Mama's trying to recreate herself, and it happens cyclically every so often. And so, you know, like the Mayans right now, I know they're all, like, coming together and talking to different people. And what's happening is that in the prophecies, we look at it, and the last 9 years going into this new Earth paradigm, that's not a destruction of the Earth. It's saying that energy is going to work differently. So we have to change how we work. And but as we're going into this in mythological context, we call this the initiation of the dragon. So we have 9 initiations we're supposed to go through, and right now we're kind of like in this cycle change that's happening between now and the new year. It actually falls on the new year, so we call it the change of dragon wolf moon. And that only happens like once every couple million years, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. It's not like it's coming back through during our time. But it's helping bring the energies in and reconnect us to the earth is what it's doing. It's bringing us back into that alignment and that realization that we are part of this. And what we do in our lives affects everything else, and what happens out there is going to affect us.
You're right, the Mayan elders are really speaking up. Carlos Barrios is doing a lot of talking. He's been on our show once. We're going to interview Adam Rubel on Monday night. And that's his contact up in Santa Fe. He runs the foundation, the Sacred Road.
Right.
And Hunbat's Men did his first radio. Well, Ghost Roll says he never did a radio interview before he did ours.
No, I believe that's probably possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to have him on probably again sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that now is the time of the fire, because with the tsunami we had, the water, with the Hurricane Katrina we had, the air, and with this last earthquake we had the earth.
Oh my gosh.
It's a matter of seeing what happens.
Wind, yeah, you had earth, air, wind, and fire. Let's see.
Well, you know, the volcano that went off in Mexico not long ago, that's a little one. But the discussion right now seems to be surrounding over whether there's going to be one big thing that happens. You know,
the earth opened up like an 18-mile crack in Mexico, or
right,
within the last 9 months. So there's
Well, what we see happening is that there's a lot of little things going on that's kind of like relieving the stress.
Yeah.
And so we're in a position right now deciding how extensive it's going to be. By our behaviors and our movement patterns.
2001.
Yeah, what's going on with the Earth right now kind of reminds me of my mom when she loses her temper.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know that you could say that she's losing her temper as much as she's going through a life change.
It's blowing
off. You know, like we all go through different life changes as we're growing older. And, you know, like, like menopause, okay, for older women and midlife for men, you know, where suddenly gravity has more relevance in our life. And so she's making the shifts, and she's growing, and to think that anything else is going to happen because, you know, one of the biggest problems I see is that we've gotten so distant and so far from believing things are alive that because they can't talk to us doesn't mean they're not alive. There are other ways of communication.
Now we got
Adam moving. It's alive, you know.
Now we got Mother Earth on PMS. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I would say more going into labor.
a creator in a midlife crisis.
Yeah, there you go. I know. I got struck by lightning a year ago. I took people out on vision conference, and I got struck by lightning. And so my doctors have been watching me, and I've been healing like through traditional ways, but having documented through other ways because I want people to see that the old ways work. You know.
What?
So unfortunately, a lot of that has to be documented through contemporary ways.
To get burned.
But one of the things is that all of a sudden I'm really tuned into the mother. So like when things happen, it's like my body gets these. And it's almost, you know, if you think back to the stories you would hear about people with arthritis, how when it's going to rain, their arthritis kicks in and stuff. And I actually have experiences like right before the earthquake, the whole earth shook and I fell. And yet I was not at the place that the earthquake occurred. So there's different things that happen, and I'm watching this, and I'm going, wow, this is really interesting. As the energies come in and humans evolve, we feel more of that interconnection. So, you know, I just am amazed because I watch all these folks that come to me and they're talking about all these physical symptoms, and I'm like, well, you're just feeling the earth. And that's all that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I'm pretty serious getting hit by lightning, you know.
It
wasn't any coincidence because I mean, there's a lot of people that they get hit and then all of a sudden they're turned on psychically or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know the Incans in my family got really excited about it. They're like, okay.
we've
been doing ceremony ever since. The ceremony that they got me doing is a congressional series of rites of passages that'll be over with. It's been interesting because I find through the rites of passages and the traditional medicines and stuff that I'm getting better. You know, there was some neurological damage and stuff that happened, but it's all healing itself and things are getting much better. And yet statistically, when I look at Western medicine and what they provide me to study about other people that have been hit by lightning, it's not a natural occurrence. It's like the symptoms continue on until the end of their life and stuff like that. So it's interesting. It's kind of like a new area of study for me. So
you've got to be kidding me. Nothing.
Well, now you're working with what the bleep do we know people? Is that how I found out about you?
You know, I don't know how you found out about it.
Well,
we don't work with them.
There's a big conference that you work with. It's a group of other people. I can't remember which one it is.
Well, we did one pilgrimage for the Prophets Conference.
That's me, Prophets Conference.
Yeah, but we don't work with them anymore. We did one thing for them. They hired us as guides.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got some bunch of interesting personalities in there.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But you know, every group does. So.
Yeah, and it's you know, on the New Age folks, you have to give them credit. You know, for well, they are fulfilling prophecies because you know they started listening, but, you know, only two or three generations after their ancestors were killing us.
Right.
And now you got the flip side situation. where, you know, a lot of the fo-boys aren't listening anymore, and they're out in denial and basically kind of acting like white people used to, greed and soap power and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like the world's upside down. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're really past the crest of the wave of prophecy keepers because the New Agers, they actually were listening to the prophecies more 10 years ago than they are now. They seem more to be interested in pilgrimages now.
Right now they're interested in getting out on the land.
Yeah,
you know, that's my favorite kind of thing to do is take people out on the land. So for me, it works really well. I think the biggest healing is kind of sitting them down next to a tree. So, seldom do they step out and actually make that contact. I agree. What I find, though, with the New Agers, and I don't want to call them New Agers, it has such a connotation.
Yeah, it does. Lack of a better word, we'll call them.
And it's not just them, it's our people too, and that is that everybody, all the children of the Four Directions have got into this frame of mind that they want this microwave fix in a minute, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And it's like, they don't want to put in the work, they go to a workshop for a weekend and either come out and say, I'm an expert at something, or I'm healed or I'm not healed. And yet, you know, I believe our traditional healers, and there are miraculous healings, and I've been witness to some and been involved in some, but it completely takes looking at your entire lifestyle and changing it around and coming back full circle with the earth, or it's not going to happen. You know, and what I see is so many people go into this stuff and then they don't trust that it's even going to work. Like before they're even out of one of these workshops, they're planning their next workshop to heal the same thing. And it's like, well, if you don't believe it's going to work, what kind of power does it have? You know, because the power in that connection is all, that's all fed by our belief system.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's kind of...
You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Plus, they need to address all the levels, not just, you know, like, I see spirituality as a place to hide, too.
Yep. Well, it's awful hard when there's been such a disconnect for, you know, years. Where you start? You got to start somewhere. And I suspect what's going to happen is that, well, you know, the Chickamauga Cherokees have a prophecy that eventually will... We'll go through all this time of invention, then we'll be taken back to the dirt.
Right.
And because Creator had something to teach us by going through this culture of invention, but there just comes to a certain point where you can't be taught anymore without taking you back to the dirt, literally.
That's right.
And it's going to be very, very, very hard on a lot of people. I know it's going to be real hard on me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 200 pounds overweight, you know. Plan on losing at least 100 of that this next year, because I know if I don't, you know, I'm just not going to be able to operate and get out and do planning and gardening and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm not alone. At least
I'm
diabetic. You know, so many of us are diabetic. And my wife's recently found a good remedy of about, not against about 14 different herbs. There's some interesting things that are coming out in natural healing. There's been a lot of talk, but it seems like they're starting to get some things right, because this stuff she's taken, the second day she started feeling the energy rush, and...
good for her.
Well, you know, it's guaranteed. You drop 50 points in 30 days, you get your money back.
Very good.
And if you're not ecstatic about it in 365 days, then we'll give you money back. So, there's some good things, but then you have people fighting it. All kinds
of
people have the interest. But according to what I've read, if this were 100 years ago, 95% of the people that are diabetic would not be diabetic.
That's right. And, you know, they found a correlation. My son did research when he was in college, and they found the correlation between the introduction of dairy products with the diabetes. So basically, if we just took all our kids off dairy products, we'd probably be at least 75% better.
And they recently found something that's in white flour that caused problems too. I know. Well, there was one traditional Bear Clan Navajo elder, Alan Nezkai, who lived at Cortez, Colorado, and he was 61. I think he'd had two amputations and was just about ready to die. He was on dialysis. As a matter of fact, he died a few months later. We threw a traditional honor powwow for him, and all he could preach was, "Hey, you know, 40% of us are diabetic, 15% of those people are on dialysis." He's like, "No, get off the white man's sugar and flour and everything." He says, not to be racist, but if it's white, you know, stay away from it because it's processed.
I understand. My grandpa, he lived to be 103, and the one thing I always noticed about him was he was always eating labels. And when he taught me, I still teach today, basically, if you cannot pronounce it, do not put it in your body.
Well, Alan's father and grandfather both lived to be over 100 years old, and he died in what did I tell you?
A lot.
It's a sad situation because diabetes hits Native people harder than it does white people.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely...
And they're poor. They can't afford a better diet. And they're saying it's the type of fat that we're eating also.
I'm only one man.
And the highly processed fat.
Yeah.
They're recommending, you know, get back to olive oils or coconut oil and stuff like that. I know Betty had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder. My wife, Betty, had a tumor pop up on her left shoulder blade last February. And she started taking coconut oil. And then immediately started shrinking. And it was smaller when they got in there. It was smaller than it was when they CAT scan or MRI. It did some good. It did some good. It's expensive, $50 a gallon, but it's worth it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, see, that's part of the lifestyle change that has to occur. It's like, how are we valuing our lives? How are we valuing the earth? It's like, okay, yeah, it's $50, and that's going to take a bite out of the budget, but is it worth it if it's going to improve our lives and let us live longer, happier lives?
She just started taking a teaspoon of it. She didn't work as much cook with it as she just ate a teaspoon of it.
Yeah.
And well, what do you think of, do you know much of the Lipan? Because the grandfather Stalking Wolf, who's given us so many prophecies, was Lipan. A lot of the Apaches say, well, he didn't even exist. But Tom Brown Jr.'s teacher.
Yes.
And but they're Texas. I understand they were Texas Apaches, but he left the rez at a young age and never really went back. He started walking all through the Americas.
I'm familiar with some of Tom Brown's work, and I actually have friends that both Penny and James, Penny Livingston and James Stark, that are the Northern California Permaculture. Northern California Permaculture is a mouthful. They work with John Young, who is one of Tom's apprentices, has done a lot of stuff. So they offer a lot of classes that are oriented around the mission of God. I have found it to be really, really helpful with a lot of people. Somebody's walking on my roof. Sorry about that.
Open it to the feds.
No, my landlord's been doing work, and I guess he wasn't around all morning.
It
sounds like he's up on top.
He's freaking out.
Yeah. So yeah, but I have found that a lot of the people that I might be a little too traditional for, I find that upon occasion I need a translator, that next step towards that understanding, that common ground, that understanding. Communication is really hard because we base it in our cultures and our experiences, and we can be speaking the same words but have meaning completely different things. And so everybody's making this assumption that we're understanding each other.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Blue. I'm speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, that's good. And it's nice that, you know, the audience can, you know, I mean, they're not here on the phone with us, but what I try to do, I had no idea in 1977 when I married my first wife. What being led by the Spirit was.
Why?
And, you know, and she, kicking and screaming, you know, she, you know, taught it to me. And so that's the way I run this show. You know, unless a guest absolutely insists, and there's only been one that sent me a bunch of questions to ask him. And I just, there's, because that's the track he runs on. That's a big deal. But I just let Spirit run this show. And, you know, some, you know, usually we have a show every week. You know, we've had less than four shows a month the last couple months. But, you know, we're going to have three or four interviews this week. It's just, you know, it's just the, things are changing. And I got to let Spirit run this show. If I didn't, we couldn't keep it funded.
That's good.
So we have to, we just have to run it that way. And if you're out there, folks, and you think Prophecy Keepers is kind of a wreck because we're not on a schedule like, you know, coast to coast, well, that's just the way it is. We're on Indian time. That's what it's like, so.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, well, what's the immediate future hold for you?
Well, I'm going up to the San Francisco Bay Area. I got a week of workshops to do up there, and I'm currently working on two new books and seeing where life's going to take me.
You know a fellow in San Diego area named Grandfather Hummingbird?
I don't know him, but I have relatives that do.
I've gotten a letter from him.
We have two grandmothers. You know, we have the clan elder system in our circle, and we honor the kids and we honor the elders, and we try to teach people about how to live traditional lifestyles in contemporary times. And so we have a couple of the grandmothers that have been here forever. My adopted Cherokee mom, she was head of Native American Studies here for a long time at San Diego State, and then another Yaya. And they're both friends of his.
Oh, I'll be darned.
It's my understanding that he's not getting around really well these days, but he's kind of up there.
Well, shoot, maybe we ought to have him on the show.
Maybe I can get Yaya Colette in touch with you. She would be the one that would know where to find him.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not on the internet, but one of his the people that he teaches
uh-huh. contacted me, and then he called me.
Oh, very good.
And we talked for a while, but I really wasn't sure who he was or what he was.
Yeah.
He was, I just couldn't tell, you know, if he
yeah.
if he was a traditional teacher or uh-huh. or because the language he was speaking in, New Age folk would understand a lot more than I did.
You know, that's yeah, you not know, I when I, God, oh my gosh, when I first started teaching and New Age started coming into my life, I actually needed somebody to translate for me because I was like looking at people with this blank look on my face, like, what are you talking about? So I understand that very well.
Okay, alrighty. Well, he's there's a lot of different bands. Oh, California's got, jeez, they got so many different bands that people probably know. I'll bet of the 550 that are federally recognized in this country, probably 100 of them are in California.
Well, probably there's a lot of them. I think we have like 50 just here in San Diego.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch around that San Francisco. See, I grew up part of the time down around San Juan Capistrano, Laguna.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they're getting ready to get recognized. It takes money. I'll tell you. It's the last few that have been federally recognized, it took, you know, $500,000 or more. And that's a lot of money.
I was an advisor to a woman that was working with this guy in Connecticut when they were trying to get recognition.
Oh.
And I think that just went through like last year.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, well, it opens doors and closes others.
Yes, it does.
And it kind of, it just seems like, well, I guess a band that I belong to filed, the Indian Creek band, Chickamauga Creek people, and they, and I parted company over another issue, but I guess the BIA required... You have a certain number of people that had to be at least 112,
right?
And or it wouldn't fly. And but after that, you know, I mean, there's Menominees. I mean, if you're married to somebody in the tribe, I mean, you're full member.
Right. Yeah.
Depends on the tribe.
Yeah.
What they want to do. I know the Cherokee Nation gets laughed at because 90% of them look white, but. You know, from the time of before European contact, you know, if you were 11th generation, one drop of Cherokee, you know, 1/1064th, you know, you're still Cherokee.
Yeah.
But now you have people that laugh at that just because you're white. Well, you know, I tell the Lakota and other Sioux people, I said, you just wait another 50 years, you'll look just like us.
Yeah.
You know. Because, or 50 or 100 years, because, you know, we were some of the first people the whites came in contact with, and now, and unfortunately, you know, we hear that a lot of their half-breed children, you know, the half-breed Asian children, half-breed black children, you know, just kind of being thrown away, you know, orphaned, you know, in some of these bands in the,
I hadn't heard that, but I wondered. I've known any one man. I have lots of Lakota friends, and they're really great. But I have met, you know, there was one man I met and he was married to an Apache woman. That's how I met him. And their children were half Apache in South Dakota. And he refused to teach them his traditional ways because of the Indian blood.
Yeah, yeah, and that's their culture, you know.
I'd like to think that it's not the culture, but it's the people.
Yeah, who knows?
It's I have heard that there is this belief that they will be the last of their race.
And equally exciting was that
yeah.
It's all kind of.
Well, Charles Yao.
Look at the Bible. You can look at different areas and find different things.
Charles Yao is a.
And I'm not real familiar with the Bible, but that is what the study I've done of it. I have noticed that.
doing it.
Find whatever you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Out of the court you're on.
And Charles, my friend, attorney Charles Yao, he's from Missouri. He's a Missouri mixed blood Cherokee, but he lives down in Mississippi. But I haven't heard from him since the
change.
So I don't know if he's still alive. But he had a practice on the, well, he was the tribal counsel for the Oglala Sioux tribe.
Uh-huh.
And he opened up a matter of fact, you can go to redcloudlaw.com or yowlaw.com. But he got real close to Oliver Red Cloud and was doing some good things on the res. And, you know, there's this thing between the Cherokee and the Sioux that goes way back. And a lot of them laugh at Cherokee. And he said, and they laughed at him, too, because, you know, he looks white. He said, but there was this one meeting where he recalled the story of how the Cherokee chased the Sioux all the way from the East Coast out onto the plains.
Oh, I know that story.
And he said the elders, and he says, after that, he says, the elders called him in, and he said, because you have told us that story, we will now respect you. We respect no Cherokees that do not recall that story and relate it to us.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, and it is interesting. In other words, it's like they don't will not validate you as a Cherokee traditionally unless you know that story. And which is kind of interesting, you know, because they can be difficult people, and they're, as far as their religiosity is concerned, you know, it's much more liturgical. In other words, you know, what they say in their ceremonies is kind of set more in stone, and you know, it's like the difference between the Catholics and say Universal Unitarian Universalism. You know, more dogmatic on one end and totally free form on the other. And Cherokee,
right.
You know, Cherokee, everybody, there is no set medicine. Everybody develops their own. And,
yeah.
And a lot of the medicine that they learn, they never teach to anybody. It's just theirs.
Right.
And they just develop it. And that just goes to show you the diversity of culture. And, you know, my teacher, John Redhead, he says, diversity is the mark of creator. He says, so you really can't talk bad about anybody because they're different. This is the way it's supposed to be. Well, we do get mad at them sometime, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but who doesn't? You know, it's part of being human. Hey, listen, bro, I'm going to have to get going.
I was just
going to
say, Spirit just told me the interview is over.
Okay. Well, you're lucky.
Amazing.
You have a good journey.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
I'll let you know when it's up online. You can let your 500,000 friends know.
Okay, honey. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, bye-bye.
This is Yasa Sagonia, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders that includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
The only time that the term molecule has ever existed is in Lord De Leon's newspaper article. So it's the same. It's the same concept. Yeah. Colorado Joe's.
For all mankind again, let the wind blow, let the truth be known.
The child stretched to the far as Conrail's breath. No further matter.
Yeah.
Sound.
Yeah.
I went to the library and did some research on his family name. Only record found in early 80s related directories for tombstone carving. Rare Richard's family is carving tombstones. There's not a whole huge leap to carving tombstones, to carving tile. Railroad Joe really fit my mental image of the tile. Working on a railroad is a profession of someone who's going to fit this profile. Traveling maybe no. Just that sort of lonely, moving through empty space sort of person. I imagine the tile work has a lot of those qualities. Railroad Joe fits that. So many things line up to map the profession, the address, the tombstone carving, your family. All of these things were coming together on this one poster. The fatal flaw of the Railroad Joe's Tyler theory is that he died. You need to find a way for him to be tiling beyond the grave. Short of resurrecting himself, it's difficult to make that argument. So James Marasco called up Pluck de Leon in 1983 and was interviewed, you know, espousing the same ideas that the tile had. Clearly, this is a leading suspect. It's the only real tangible piece of evidence.
I contacted Clark Billion via email, and I started to kind of get him talking about anything that he remembered about this caller that the caller might have said in addition to the basic message that he wrote about in the article. I think that Marasco said he lived in Fishtown or Kensington, which are working-class, mostly white neighborhoods that run along the Delaware River north of Center City. He sounded blue-collar, proud of his education, certain of his information, but not confident of his presentation to me, or rather to the Inquirer. He had a soft bass voice, which was definitely Philadelphia working class, and that's about it, my friend.
Really? Yeah, this is sort of pointing to a different area of the city. It's giving a little bit of a profile of Marasco as a person. That's about all we know about him. There's not a whole lot more information aside from that about James Marasco as a person. Based on trips to the library, and looking at old early 80s, 1983 or so, telephone director. The only James Marasco that existed was not in Fishtown, not in Kensington, not in South Philadelphia, but in the northwest of the city, in a very not working class neighborhood called Chestnut Hill. He's been interviewed by reporters.
Cincinnati City Beat ran an article, I think, in 2001.
But
person who answers the phone says, Mr. Brosco can't speak because he's had his voice box wrong.
He has played football that he has not made on the child. Based on his age, the child would have been put down across the country. He would have been in his 70s and even 80s. It doesn't fit, obviously. We're looking for a social worker named James Marasco. We've never found a social worker named James Marasco. The more we looked into James Marasco, the less likely it seemed that he even existed.
There's still this lingering question, you know, with James Marasco. most of it is just an endless array of people that they've figured out the entire message, where they know what it's really all about, and it's anything you can think of. People have conspiracy theories about the Twin Mihails. And people believe that they've solved the mystery. There were multiple people who mentioned the files early days.
We're not the first people to try and solve this mystery.
Yeah, it's definitely been investigated in depth by other people. We learned from the that email. There's two other groups of people who had resolved to make documentary films about it even.
Everybody who researches this seems to hit a brick wall. And this has been going on for decades, yes. Detectives tried and failed. Documentary team tried and failed. Countless other people tried and failed to solve this mystery. It seemed to me like we weren't special. We had no training in being detectives. We're not going to make this stuff. We're wasting.
Here's my phone. I'm sorry I got you on this stupid thing.
There's so many shadows.
I think they've massaged it long enough. I think they have massaged it long enough.
Is this a movie or?
Yep.
Is that Russian that was pointing
yep.
out? That's what I thought.
Lived.
Yeah, but
he was actually running for, like, the president of Georgia or
something like that.
And he lived through it.
Я прошу вас, если что-то случится. Я прошу показать эту кассету на весь мир и сказать, что эти люди готовы исполнять заказные убийства, и возможно, что они исполняли заказные убийства как внутри страны, так и за рубежом.
Not in the worst nightmare could I imagine something as bad as this happening to Sasha.
A cheese sandwich?
Absolutely shocked. He looks like a skeleton. Who would inflict this?
Oh, okay.
In a museum to reduce somebody to the state he is in now. Obviously intentional.
Stay screaming if it is.
Well, he's in pain. In pain all the time. Who did it? Who did it?
Oh.
At the end of April 2007, I returned home.
No funny bunny, funny.
What's that
limit? Somebody wrecked this havoc without taking anything.
I started watching this stuff pretty good.
Samantha, where are you, pretty girl?
At the end of which, 2007.
Oh, you'll love this. This is absolutely the cutest movie.
The Importance of Being Loved.
Oh yeah.
I've heard that,
this
but
is
I don't
adorable.
Know.
Adorable. Well, you might not like it because there's English accent.
Yes, what?
Yeah, just watch it, you know. But I really enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
good angel.
Yeah. You don't mind.
Just give me a half a cheese. No more than that. Yeah, I'm just
gonna
take it on the
bed next time.
No.
Pleasure.
I call that business.
How utterly unromantic you are.
I really didn't see what there is romantic about proposing. Why one maybe except unusually is, I believe, and then the excitement is over. No. Essence of romance. Uncertainty. Anyway, I certainly can't see you from the point of being married. So why on earth you say that?
Well, in the first place, I have to have your consent.
Dear fellow, Gwendolyn is my cousin, and before I allow you to marry her, you should have to clear up this whole question of Cecily.
Cecily?
Hmm.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Algebra of Cecily? I don't know anyone by the name of Cecily. Do you mean to say you've had my cigarette case all this time?
Hmm.
Wish to goodness you'd let me know. Frankly, let us to Scotland Yard about those very nearly on me, a very large wall.
She would have. I haven't been more nearly hung up.
It makes no matter for a scene, I'm thinking you're not sure. Of course, it's
only
one thing with it at all times, not according to the instruction.
No.
And you have no right whatsoever to read what's written inside. It's a very unjust thing to read a private cigarette case. Yes, but this isn't your cigarette case. This cigarette case is a present from someone of the name of Cecily, and you said you didn't know anyone of that name. Well, if you want to know, Cecily happens to be my aunt.
Your aunt?
Yes, charming old lady she is too, lives at Tunbridge Wells. Just give it back to me, Algie. Yes, but why does your aunt call you her uncle? Hmm? From little Cecily with her fondest love to her dear Uncle Jack. There is no objection to an aunt being a small aunt. Why an aunt, no matter what her size may be, should call her own nephew her uncle? I can't quite make out. Besides, your name isn't Jack at all. It's Ernest.
It isn't Ernest.
Oh,
it's Jack.
Oh. You've always told me it was Ernest. I've introduced you to everyone as Ernest. It is perfectly absurd you're saying your name isn't Ernest. It's on your cards. Here is one of them. Mr. Ernest Worthing, B4, the Albany. Well, it is Ernest in town, and Jack in the country, and the cigarette case was given to me in the country. Well, I've always pretended to have a younger brother.
Ah, over the name of Ernest. And, Cecily. I wore it in a Cecily card. Where is that place in the country, by the way?
That is nothing to you, dear boy. You are certainly not going to be invited. Let me tell you candidly, the place is not in Shropshire.
Oh, I suspected that, my dear fellow. Just as I suspected you to be a Bunburyist. Indeed, you are one of the most advanced Bunburyists I know.
He's always running out on restaurant bills.
Oh, is
this
yours? Cecily, your German grammar is on the table. Greg, open it at page 15. You will repeat yesterday's lesson. But I don't like German. It isn't at all a becoming language. I know perfectly well I look quite plain after my German lesson. Child, you know how anxious your guardian is that you should improve yourself in every way. Your Uncle Jack is so very serious. Sometimes I think he is so serious he cannot be quite well. Cecily, I'm surprised at you. Mr. Worthing has many troubles in his life. You must remember his constant anxiety about that unfortunate young man, his brother. I wish Uncle Jack would allow that unfortunate young man's brother to come down here sometime. We might have a good influence of him. I'm not sure that I would desire to reclaim him. I'm not in favor of this modern mania for turning bad people into good people at a moment's notice. Cecily? For your work, Charlie.
Bunburyist. What do you mean by a Bunburyist?
You have invented a very useful younger brother called Ernest. In order that you may be able to come up to town as often as you like.
I have invented an invalid, permanent invalid called Bunbury, in order that I may be able to go down to the country as often as I choose. If it wasn't for Bunbury's extraordinary bad health, for instance, I wouldn't be able to dine with you at the Savoy tonight, for I really had an appointment with Aunt Augusta for more than a week. No, I'm not going to dine with me anyway tonight.
I know. You're absurdly careless about giving out invitations. Don't
secure down the sanctuary.
I won't, especially if I'm the best.
You've been eating all
night. Well, that's quite a different matter. She's my aunt.
Must be her. Do any relatives or predators ever ring in that Wagnerian manner? Now, if I manage to get her out of the way for 10 minutes, so that you may have the opportunity for proposing to Wendland, may I dine with you as a boy tonight?
Lady Blackmore and Miss Fairfax.
Good afternoon, dear Algie. I hope you are behaving very well.
Well, I'm feeling very well.
It's not quite the same thing. Two things rarely go together.
Lady Blackmore. Goodness, you are.
I remember that.
Always
trust.
Am I not, Mr. Algie?
You are quite perfect, Miss Fairfax.
Oh, I hope I am not that. It would leave no room for development. I intend to develop in many directions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if we're a little late, Algie. I was obliged to call on dear Lady Harbury. I've not been there since her poor husband's death. I never saw a woman so awesome. She looks like 20 years younger. And now I have a cup of tea and one of those nice cucumber sandwiches you promised me.
Certainly,
won't you sit here, Gwendolyn?
Thanks, Mama. I'm quite comfortable where I am.
But heavens, eh? Why are there no cucumber sandwiches?
There were no cucumbers in the market this morning, sir. I went down twice.
Oh, no cucumbers?
No, sir. Not even for ready money.
That will do, then.
Thank you, sir.
No cucumbers.
I'm greatly distressed, Aunt Augusta, about there being no cucumbers, not even for ready money.
It's really making a matter, Aldi. I have some crumpets with Lady Harbury. I've got quite a treat for you tonight, Algie. Going to send you down with Mary Barker. She is such a nice woman.
Sorry, Aunt Augusta, I shall have to give up the pleasure of dining with you tonight, everyone.
I hope not, Algie. It will put my table completely out.
It's a great one. I need hardly say terrible disappointment to me, but I've just had a telegram to say that my poor friend Bumble is very ill again. They seem to think I should be with him.
Very strange. This Mr. Bunbury seems to suffer from curiously bad health.
Yes, poor Bunbury is a dreadful invalid.
Well, I must say, Andrew, I think it is high time Mr. Bunbury made up his mind whether he was going to live or die. Shilly-shallying with a question is absurd. I should be much obliged if you would ask Mr. Bunbury from me to be kind enough not to have a relapse next Saturday. It was my last reception, and I rely on you to arrange my music for me.
I'll speak to Bunbury, Aunt Augusta, if he's still conscious. Now, if you'll follow me into the next room, I'll run over the musical program I've already drawn up for the occasion.
Thank you, Archie. It's very thoughtful of you. Gwendolyn, you will accompany me.
Certainly, Mama.
Okay. Charming day.
Please don't talk to me about the weather, Mr. Worthing. Whenever people talk to me about the weather, I always feel quite certain that they mean something else. That makes me so nervous.
I do mean something else.
Oh,
no. And I would like to take advantage of Lady Bracknell's temporary absence.
Certainly advise you to do so. Mama is a way of coming back suddenly into a room that I've often had to speak to her about.
Miss Fairfax, ever since I met you, I have admired you more than any girl I've ever met since I met you.
Yes, I'm quite aware of the fact, and I also wish that in public, at any rate, you'd be more demonstrative. For me, you have always had an irresistible fascination.
Oh,
even before I met you, I was far from indifferent to you. We live, as I hope you know, Mr. Worthing, in an age of ideals. And my ideal has always been to love someone of the name of... There's something in that name that inspires absolute confidence. The moment Algie first mentioned to me that she had a friend called Ernest, I knew I was destined to love you.
I really love you. Darling, you don't know how happy it made me.
My
goodness, I can't. You don't mean to say that. You couldn't. I mean, my name wasn't Ernest.
But no,
Then you are not down on my list of eligible young men. However, I'm quite ready to enter your name as a possible candidate. Perhaps you would attend a meeting at my house at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I shall have a few questions to put to you. Alvin?
So, did you tell Gwendolyn the truth about the Ernest in town and Jack in the country?
My dear fellow, this isn't quite the sort of thing one tells to a nice, sweet, refined girl.
All the ideas you have about the way to behave to a woman.
The only way to behave to a woman is to make love to her if she's pretty and to someone else if she's plain.
That's nonsense. You never talk to anything but nonsense.
Well, nobody ever does.
You forgot to pay the bill.
Not at all. I make it a point never to pay this boy.
Why, that's not. You have heaps of money.
Yes, but Anne is happy. He's got quite a reputation to keep up.
Can neither one of them say?
Yeah, I'll look at this.
Intellectual pleasures await you, my child. You should put away your diary, Cecily. I really don't see why you should keep a diary at all. I keep a diary in order to enter the wonderful secrets of my life. If I didn't write them down, I should probably forget all about them. Memory, my dear Cecily, is the diary that we all carry about.
Really?
I'm not memory responsible for nearly all of you. Three-volume novels people write nowadays. Do not speak slightingly of the three-volume novel, Cecily. I wrote one myself in earlier days.
Did you really, Miss Prism? I hope it cannot end happily.
The good ended happily. And the bad, unhappily. That is what fiction means. For your work, child, these speculations are profitless. But I see dear Dr. Chadwick coming through the garden. What a
Dr. Chasuble. This is indeed a pleasure.
And how are we today? Miss Prism, you are, I trust, well.
Miss Prism has just been complaining of a slight headache. I think it would do her so much good to have a short stroll with you in the park, Mr. Chasuble. I have not mentioned anything about a headache. No, dear Miss Prism, I know that. But I felt instinctively that you had a headache. Indeed, I was thinking about that, not my German lesson when the rector came along.
I hope, Cecily, you are not inattentive.
I'm afraid I am.
It's strange. Were I fortunate enough to be Miss Prism's pupil, I would hang upon her lips. I spoke metaphorically. My metaphors were drawn from bees.
I shall see you both, no doubt.
Any answer?
Cute movie, isn't it? Yeah, the music doesn't fit the period. 1930s music for 1890s England.
Evidently a man of some wealth.
I'm afraid I really don't know.
Look at that.
Fact is, Lady Frank, I said I had lost my parents. You know the truth, say my folks knew it was me. I actually don't know who I am. I was found.
Okay, here's where it gets real dicey. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll hold it.
No, go on. Just checking.
The late Mr. Thomas Cardew, an old gentleman of a very charitable and kindly disposition, found me. Gave me the name of Worthing. He happened to have a first class ticket for Worthing in his pocket at the time. Worthing is a place in Sussex. It is a seaside resort.
But where did this charitable gentleman with a first class ticket for the seaside resort find you?
In a handbag. Yes, the Bracknell I was in the handbag. Somewhat large, black leather handbag with handles to it. Well, an ordinary handbag.
In what locality did this Mr. James or Thomas Cardew come across this ordinary handbag?
In the cloakroom at Victoria Station. It was given to him in mistake for his own.
The cloakroom at Victoria Station?
Yes. The bright line.
The line is immaterial. Still working. I just found somewhat bewildered about what you have just told me. To be born or at any rate play in a family, whether it has handles or not, seems to me to display contempt for the ordinary issues in the family life, which remind one of the worst excesses of the French Revolution. And I presume you know what that unfortunate movement led to.
May I ask you then what you would advise me to do? I need hardly say I would do anything in the world to ensure when this happens.
I would strongly advise you, Mr. Worthing, to try and acquire as soon as possible.
Are you coming back?
And make a death. At any rate, one parent of either sex before the season is quite over.
Well, I don't see how I could possibly manage to do that. I can produce the handbag at any moment. It's in my storeroom at home. I really think that should satisfy you, Lady Frank.
Me, you would think. You can hardly imagine that I, Lord Bracknell, would dream of allowing our only daughter, a girl brought up with the utmost care, to marry into a cloakroom and form an alliance with a pastor. Good morning, Mr. Worthing.
You married into the estate of whoever, you know, and the alliance was with the family.
Good morning.
And he came from nothing. This is their aristocrat. Oh, wow.
Right,
not as true as any observation
civilized
life should be. Oh,
my dear.
Let me hear from that.
The story of your romantic origin as related to me by my mom, with unpleasing comments I naturally heard in the fibers of my nature. I followed you here to reassure you that there is nothing that you can possibly do can alter my eternal devotion. You're up with the old lady I have. What is your address in the country?
The manor? Walton? Hartbridge.
I will communicate with you soon.
Too much interested in it. It's rather a ball. very well. Yeah.
Very serenity, my dear fellow. It's the sort of thing that runs in families. Yeah. Not that say it was a severe chill.
Poor brother Ernest has carried on suddenly in Paris with a severe chill.
That's what I've had. Have you told Gwen that you have an excessively prison wolf if he's only just 18? And one doesn't blur things to stop.
Let's say Gwendolyn has become extremely rich. But you like half an hour after they met.
He's calling a handkerchief from us.
Women only do that with each other and lots of other things first.
Yeah, I will.
You're better already.
We're
looking at work. because I'm hungry.
Wedding.
This is indeed a surprise. We did not look for you until Monday afternoon.
I have returned sooner than I expected.
What?
Yes, Worthing, I trust
this
garb and
clothes
does not betoken some terrible calamity.
He shows up with an urn.
My brother.
What a bad
morning. I fell leading a life of pleasure.
John, I've come down from town to tell you that I'm very sorry for all the trouble I've given you, and I fully intend to lead a better life in the future.
If you like the better.
What can I say? The old Ernest is dead long live the new Ernest. I thought you'd like my little joke. Knowing me as you do, Brother John, I'm surprised you took it so seriously. At any rate, I stand before you now an entirely new man, risen, as it were, like a phoenix from the ashes.
Uncle Jack, you're not going to refuse your own brother's hand.
Nothing would induce me to take his hand. I think his behavior utterly disgraceful. He knows perfectly well why.
Do shake his hand, Uncle Jack.
After all, it could be worse. It could be dead in Paris.
You could indeed.
Of a severe chill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chew.
But you're not really watching this.
Mississippi. And he cannot vote for the public opinion to represent him.
What, like it.
You have the color of his skin changed.
Friend, I'm a Mississippi segregationist, and I am proud.
God forgives murder, and he forgives adultery. But he is very angry, and he actually curses all who do integrate.
They don't change the nigger's nature. It's capitalistic because you're educated. You've got an educated nigger, that's all.
Oh, these people.
Pardon me.
Do what?
All you people who enjoy your peace of mind. You say everybody's equal. Everybody is doing fine. You should have been down in Mississippi in the summer of 64. If you were down in Mississippi, you wouldn't say that anymore.
Philadelphia, Mississippi, June 21st, 64.
June of 2004, they are discussing opening the case and filing murder charges.
Joga County Code, the only damn thing in the world to cover this stuff. They don't intend for this to go to trial.
And that, the truth, needs to be known. Why bring all this thing back up? It's not going to bring anybody back.
Some people don't understand that the burden is better lifted by a trial than by just ignoring it.
My opinion is if it's stirred up, something bad could happen again.
I think it's disgraceful. I think it was something that should have been left alone.
These people that saying that, they know that if you keep bringing it up, somebody in their family's name is going to come up.
Why would we want to protect murderers? They are domestic terrorists. They murdered American patriots.
It's not about revenge. This is about the image of the show account.
I'm going down there Oh, I'm going down the road, and
it's oh, man.
About 200 civil rights workers have arrived in Mississippi to begin a summer-long campaign. They were trained for it on a college campus in Ohio. This week, another group of volunteers is being taught what to expect in Mississippi and how to show up.
At least we're getting
regret not having no house. The fight for power continues to be ethically assured how rebels achieve.
Due to violent content, viewer discretion advised. Previously on Revolution.
But it's real, and it will never turn back on.
What the hell is going on?
Don't let anybody know you had it. Keep it safe.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna have to ask you coming up.
You can't see him.
Hey, what? My brother, my sister's in Chicago. He can't get there. Just do this.
Oh.
My brother's clipping him. It's my job to get him back.
You want to see him again?
We're gonna go. We're gonna go. I gotta go get Nora.
Yeah.
If the weather's real bad, I'll call and cancel it, honey.
Well, I said it would be, but I think it's supposed to.